Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you thought that was loud, that ain't nothing to what heaven's going to be like. Okay? Everybody's still running around seeming to think heaven's going to be just this little quiet place. The Bible says that there are creatures God created with four faces to stand around his throne day and night and proclaim his praise. Yeah, that's why that is awesome. That is the epitome of awesome. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll tell you what, man. Whew. Glory to God. We're about to partake of communion here in just a few moments. And I just want to talk to you real quick. What we're celebrating today, chicks are fine, bunnies are fine, your little eggs are fine. They didn't save you. They didn't get well. If you eat them, they gave their life for you. All that stuff is fine, folks. The truth of the matter is we celebrate this season that Jesus rose from the dead. By all counts, this is totally impossible by all medical stands. But it wasn't done medically. It was done by the power of the Holy Ghost. But what Jesus did on those 3 days, we can never imagine. Yes, we will just have to live with the hum of the fans. I'm sorry. Our glorious electrician crossed the wires and got the wrong one for the fan and one for the light. And light dimmer switches have a tendency to hum. But what Jesus did, we can never repay. We can never even come close to imagining. How many of you took time this weekend to watch The Passion? My wife does every year. A few of you did. What you saw was only the beginning. Okay, you got to understand, he went to the place God is not. He did that for us. I've got a little different message this morning. It's all on Jesus today. But I want you to understand what he did was for you. If you can't believe that there's a God in heaven yet, I'm going to pray for you. But I do want to tell you this one thing. When you check out of this earth, you better know that God. Because he's the one that created this earth. It was never his intention for us to be the way we are today. But he had to make a way when man chose to rebel against him and choose his own way. So I'm going to ask you real quick, with every eye closed and every head bowed. You don't know Jesus, or you've never made him your Lord. Either way, I don't care. It's the same prayer. If that's you, because I'm going to tell you right now, if it's you and you know where you stand at that, and your stomach right now is trying to crawl through your throat, it's you. Just slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. There's nobody else looking around. Because I'm telling you, folks, the joy that I have found in Jesus cannot be described. I could try to come up with the words. Has my life been a cakewalk? No. But it's been easier with Jesus in it. Okay, just one more moment. All right. We're going to partake of communion now. For years, I've been taught that if you partake of communion improperly, that you could get sick and die. The truth of the matter is, you do not even have to be a Christian yet. But I do want to tell you, what you're doing is you're recognizing what Jesus did. You may not have voiced it out of your mouth yet, but you're believing it. You're on the way. You're not going to die because you partook of communion and you don't know Christ yet, or you've got sin in your life and you're living in rebellion. He's not coming down. We misunderstand the God that we serve. He's a loving God, a gracious God. I'll talk a little bit more today about that great God that we serve. So if the ushers will bring forth the sacraments. We are new to this setup, so we are going to try to work the best that we can on getting people filtered through here. I think the best bet would be pass to the right. Okay, so if the first row will stand up in the middle. Yeah, we got three sections now instead of four. And since we have a full row this morning, if you guys will just actually serve them, it'll be the easiest. And we do appreciate your... Yeah, you two need to flip. Step back here. Follow him up. There you go. We're working with the new construction, and we appreciate you bearing with us. The dust on the equipment. The seats have been wiped down, so you're not going to stand up and have a perfect imprint. Well, please stand. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he was having actual dinner with his friends. And while they were eating, he stood up. And he took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body." So let's partake. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many of the remissions of sin." Let's pray first. We're doing something just a little different. I just saw it. Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that was poured out for the remissions of all of our sins. Lord, we thank you that it is a never-ending covering. Bless it now. Partake. Lord, we thank you once again for what Jesus did. Father, we present ourselves to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Father, that no matter how bad we think we've been or how much we have doubted you, that we can never doubt so much that the blood of Jesus, we can never sin so much that the blood of Jesus cannot cover it. Lord, we thank you for that now in Jesus' name. All right, you may be seated, and the Super Kids Academy is dismissed at this. If there's anything can be said about me, I'm not conventional. I actually turned on the radio the other day. It's the first time I'd ever heard that song. And all I heard was that last part. I think it's so fitting, folks, because so many of us for years think we're alone. Life happens, doesn't it? Bad things happen. And we get bitter and resentful. And we forget we never went through it alone. I had the opportunity to explain to somebody the other day. They were talking about, you know, some days they can really feel the presence of God and other days they don't. And I said, He said, what's going on? Why don't I feel it all the time? And I said, it's because you're growing up. You're starting to learn to trust that he's there, whether you feel him or not. There's been many times in my own life I've had to stop and ask God to forgive me for acting like a fool. Somebody does something, I'm not forgiving them. I'm going to be mad at them for the rest of my life. What a horrible way to spend your breathing, waking hours. It didn't take a whole lot in that song to make me realize just how religious I can get. Just how cold and unsensitive that I can be. And I will have to say that looking back, even in this past year, I have grown so much more than I ever thought. I thought at one point I had reached a pinnacle. Yeah, right. My prayer for you today is that video, like I said, there weren't too many dry eyes. That video at the very end at least opened your eyes to let you know you cannot be blaming everybody else for your life. I love getting these little things on Facebook. Nobody can ruin your life. It's a choice you have. You can let them ruin it, or you can let them not. I choose not to let other people ruin my life. People are going to talk about you. Get used to it. I don't care what you do. You can do good things for them, and they will talk bad about you. I want to read, I said today I was going to do something a little different. The section of scripture I'm going to read out of is actually out of the prophets. And a lot of people, they've heard some of the scripture, but they haven't heard all of it. I'm going to be reading out of Isaiah 53. Anybody that's been a Christian for given a year or two has heard Isaiah 53:5. By his stripes we were healed. If you were a teen in the 80s and you knew the group Striper, you always saw Isaiah 53:5 on the bottom of their logo. But there was so much more to that that actually relates right to today. I mean, to the day that we're celebrating. So I'm going to start in verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You know, so many people don't realize that. We try to find the best looking Jesus we can. And right there, the Bible just told us he was not a good looking man. It's easy for people to follow the Brad Pitt wannabes, right? Which, by the way, I don't think he's all that hot. I have yet to figure out how he's gotten the sexiest man. Like, seriously? I can think of a lot of other guys who are better looking. If we're going to base it on that. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We despised him and we did not esteem him. The prophet Isaiah is saying that when we heard what he was saying to us, we did not respect him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. The religious people of the day, when they saw that he was beaten and he was bound and bleeding and bruised, They stood out in a crowd and they said, he has offended God. And God is punishing him for what he's doing. Okay? But we always overlook these little words. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Folks, Jesus heals. But I need you to understand something. He healed people before the disciples healed people, before he ever took the first stripe. Okay? You can claim it, but I need to tell you something. The healing he's talking about, you witnessed in the video. That's the healing. The emotional trauma, the emotional distress. That's what he took. So that we could be healed. Because there's not a one of us in here who has not been rejected by somebody we respected. There's not a one of us in here who wasn't hurt by a loved one or a friend. And it leaves a scar, doesn't it? It leaves a bad wound. And until you get something to fix it, and I'm going to tell you right now, medication does not fix them. They're still there. It drowns out feelings. It makes you numb. Jesus came to heal all those things. The emotional scars, the emotional trauma. He'll heal your body. He said, all you got to do is believe in his name. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, folks, when Jesus was betrayed that night, his disciples scattered. Yeah, Peter followed for a little bit until he denied him. John followed along for a little bit. But eventually, they all went their own way. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Folks, you need to understand something right now about what Jesus did on what we call Good Friday. He kept his mouth shut. It's the greatest thing he did, because you need to understand what he's talking about there. He's not talking about crying out in pain. I can step on somebody's toes. I got two of them up here with open toes. I can step on their toes and they will cry out in pain instinctively. It said he opened not his mouth because he didn't call legions of angels to destroy mankind. You need to understand that. There were legions of angels on standby. They were waiting for his call. They're waiting for him to say, I'm not going to do this. And he didn't do it. He kept quiet. And he bore everything that we should bear. Every time we uttered the word hate, every time we let anger build up in our heart, he bore that. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. You know, I've read the whole Bible through. I never really caught that. He made his grave with the wicked, but with the wretch at his death. He was hanging between two thieves. That's where he died. That's what the grave represents. But his death, he was placed in a rich man's tomb that had never been used. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. Folks, we are here today because we have been justified by what Jesus Christ did. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. You know, it is so hard for us to pray for somebody who's wronged us, isn't it? Is that our first instinct? To pray for them? If it's yours, I praise God you have reached that level. Because it's not mine. If I'm going down 71 and somebody runs up on my rear end, which I hate, or they cut me off, I really hate, I have learned I have to start praying. Because for some reason, my right foot wants to go a little closer to the floorboard. But Jesus prayed. When he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because you've got to stop and think about this for just a moment, folks. All you dads out there, you know your son's got to do something, right? But yet, somebody takes it a step further. Jesse plays football. And being in the stands, you know, as a dad, I'm proud. I'm usually hoarse by the end of the game. And I know he's going to get hit. That's the nature of football. But when I see something unnecessary, that's not the side that's over here cheering and rooting, go, switches. And I realized long ago that whatever happens with the kids, there's a daddy usually has to be dealt with too, if he's any kind of daddy. But my flesh wants to go find that boy's daddy. Deal with the big one first. While you've got the energy. That's what we want to do. Jesus had to ask God to forgive them because these men were going above and beyond what they were supposed to do. They were being intentionally cruel. Whether they were demon-possessed at the time, I do not know. But I would dare say yes. Because those of you that watched The Passion, you remember the beating. The men just kept getting more and more into it. I've heard that when men work in slaughterhouses, and particularly they're the killer, the person who has to kill the animal, they see so much blood that something goes wrong in their head. And they start enjoying it. We need to realize that the blood of Jesus was poured out for us. Not for us to continue living like we're God, denying people the forgiveness that we owe them. Because truth of the matter is, most of the time when we're holding somebody in unforgiveness, they don't know it and they don't care. Today, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember Isaiah 53 pretty much described a beating that Jesus took. It was a beating, again, I do not think that even the Passion of the Christ movie could come close to. Because you need to understand, when men really cross that threshold and start enjoying what they do, they let go. They totally let go. Any man in combat, when he is going through a firefight, you've got to be careful approaching him on the other side, because they've gone into another dimension. But I need to remind you of something, folks. Jesus went into the tomb, a corpse. He walked out of the tomb, a living being. Buddha has not done this. Muhammad has not done this. Krishna has not done this. Oprah has not done this. I'm not a fan of Oprah, okay? She's done some great things for people, I get it. Spiritually, New Age Transcendental Meditation. If you don't know what that is, if you're practicing yoga, just so you know. There's all these things, and not a one of them walked out of an empty tomb and left behind clothes folded neatly. Even Jesus made his bed before he left. But he did it, folks, so that we could live a wonderful life. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Let's practice living that life. Let's practice loving people. Let's practice forgiving them. If we truly love them, we will forgive them. I'm going to spill the beans on Pat a little bit. But he's shared it before. He's back here, oh no. See, Phil's not in here for me to pick on. But Pat said one time he was talking with his ex-wife, and she said, you've really changed. You are different. And you know what he told her? He says, I am. I don't hate you anymore. He recognized. And he let God start replacing that with love. And you know what? I've seen people's lives change over and over when they do that. I'm going to tell you another little secret, and then I'm going to wrap up. Sometimes the person we hate the most is ourselves. Sometimes we hate ourselves because of the way we treated somebody. Something we said to somebody. Because you may be sitting there saying, well, I hear you talking about this love and forgiveness that Jesus bought, but how I can't receive it. You don't know what I've done. I've already told you once. I can tell you 100 times and you just won't get it until you believe it in faith. There's nothing you've done that Jesus won't forgive. So I want you to take from today, there's a risen Savior. He came to save us from ourselves as much as anything. We all keep living like, for some reason, Christians, when they get saved, all they want to do is go home. I'm sorry, I'm not one of those. Not that I don't want to see Jesus. I got a whole message on that, but I want to tell you something right now. I'm seeing Jesus. You understand yet? We'll get to that whole message one day. I don't need to go to heaven. I've got a job to do. I got loved ones. I got friends who need to hear, who need to see the example of love. So, don't get busy dying. Get busy living. Forgiving. I'm going to tell you something, folks, and forgiving is something you got to walk in every day. Sometimes you got to get up and forgive yourself first and then go. Because I know there's days I just wake up and it's like, man, what did I wake up into? Anybody ever had those days? You wake up and that blue funk is just waiting for you right there above your pillow. And as soon as you raise up, you're in it. And you don't know what. It's condemnation. Because you'll start feeling bad. And you'll start, oh man, I'm just a piece of trash. No, you're not. God took the time out of all of creation. See, this is what throws us all up with science and creationism and all this. We're trying to say how God created something, but not even Moses was there. He just said, God said, let there be animals, and the animals were. I don't know how God created them. Don't care. I'm the only thing that was new on the planet at the time. I've got my own belief about all this. I've shared it before. But mankind said God took his hands and molded us out of the dust of the earth. He took the time to love us. And I got news for you. He took the time to love us knowing what we would do. So today, take the time to forgive others. Take the time to forgive yourself. When you start forgiving yourself, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll be able to love others. The Apostle Paul said, that we should not love ourselves more than we ought. Did I say that right? Let me interpret that for you. There's a certain level you are supposed to love yourself. Because Paul said, if I give my body to be burned at a stake and I don't have love, it's not going to profit me anything. I got to love people. And it's easy to love people when they're making us happy, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I just love you. Just lovey-dovey. Let them cross you. Let them make you mad. Then you get to actually practice love. Let them call you names. Let them do things to you. Things will change. But once you let God start working in you and you forgive them, you forgive yourself, you start loving them, and you first start loving yourself and then love them, I guarantee you, your world will change. But until then, brother or sister, it ain't changing. Because Jesus came for one reason and one reason alone. Because God loved us. That was it. That was it. Wasn't because of a prophecy. He came because his Father loved us. And because he and his Father are the same, he loved us. I want you to remember that. I want you to live it. I want you to live in the excitement that is God's love and forgiveness. Because otherwise, you have a meaningless life. I'm just telling you the truth. The choices are yours. I can try to make you do things that you don't want to do, and you may do them, but you'll never set in you. You just go continue doing what you want to do. My parents made me go to church, made me say a prayer. I said the prayer, I went to church. And by the time I was 19, I'd seen enough hypocrisy in the church. I said, that's it. I'd seen enough hypocrisy in Christians, which, by the way, to one degree or another, we all really are hypocrites. We really are. It doesn't matter if you're Christian or not. But I did learn something about God's love and that He cared for me. All right, let's stand. We're out a little early this morning. I trust many of you are going to go celebrate this day. With that in mind, I want you to carry this, not just today, but forever. Because the seed's there now. That God loves you. And if you had been the only person on the earth that was still worshiping sticks and stones, He would have came down and gave you the opportunity. That baffles me. I don't know about you. It just blows my mind that if I was the only moron on the planet that couldn't see His love. I'm looking at all the other believers and they're still making mistakes, but yet they found a joy. They're finding love. They're finding forgiveness. And I just keep, I'm going to do my own thing. Keep bumping my head into that proverbial wall because I refused to receive what He'd done for me. And I'm telling, I know I'm asking you a hard thing. I'm asking you to trust something you can't see. Well, I don't see photosynthesis, but I know it's happening. I know it's happening. I can't see the air I'm breathing. I know it's happening. Can't see my brain, but they tell me there's one in there. They haven't said it's actually fully engaged, but let's pray. Father, we thank You once again for what You did for us on the cross. That You sent Your Son. That You endured the beating He took, the abuse that He took at the hands of mankind. And then You turned around and You chose to forgive them. You've chosen to forgive us. Lord, I pray now that You help us all to receive Your love and forgiveness. Help us to let it burn and bury deep, that it cannot be uprooted. That we remember, even in the times of trials and storms in our lives, Father, You were always there. That You have cared for us, and You've never turned away. Lord, help us all to receive that love. And now, Father, I pray for these that will be traveling to family get-togethers. I pray that You bless that travel. Fill them with peace and joy and happiness, Lord. Father, I pray that You bless these people. Bless the work of their hands this week, Lord God. Touch their lives. Cause an outpouring of Your love and Your Spirit to happen in Jesus' name.